الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. جزاك الله خيرا. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف أنبياء الله. And may he raise the rank of the noblest of his messengers, نبينا محمد, our prophet Muhammad, وعلى آله وصحبه. And as well may he raise the rank of his family and companions. وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا. And may he grant them all an abundance of peace. As for what follows, أَمَّا بَعْدُ, then alhamdulillah we have gathered back at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal here in the city of Pittsburgh on this eve of the 23rd of the month of Rajab, the 7th month, the year 1436. How long until Ramadan now? 1 month and 6 days, 7 days, like that. Subhanallah, very close. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to witness, reach Ramadan, bis-sihha wal-afiyah, in good health and in safety. Allahumma ameen. So we've come back together from the bounties of Allah Ta'ala in this house of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala bless it and those who maintain it. We've come to study more from the tafsir of Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Surah Al-Waqi'ah. And we have reached the 83rd, I'm sorry, we have reached the 75th verse. The 75th verse of Surah Al-Waqi'ah. And of course we are reading from the tafsir of the great scholar, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah have mercy on him. And we are broadcasting on the radio station called Mirath Publications, English radio. May Allah Ta'ala bless it and its maintainers and those who listen to it. And our audios are also collected at our Spreaker account, that which follows the Al-Masjid Al-Awwal account, the first Muslim mosque of Pittsburgh. We begin with the 75th verse here on page 346 of the printed tafsir from Dar al-Thuriyya, which begins with Al-Hujurat and Qaf all the way to Al-Hadid. And so we're at Surah Al-Waqi'ah near the end. This is our sixth sitting in tafsir of this surah out of seven, insha'Allah ta'ala. And so we begin with the 75th verse and the 76th verse as well. Allah ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم. And know, Allah says, what means, I swear by the places of the stars, perhaps the places where the stars set, or perhaps their actual places. And verily it is an oath or a swearing that if you really knew about it, it is azim, it is tremendous, it is great. Our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih, rahimahullah, he says, يُخْبِرُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى. Allah, the Blessed and Most High, informs, أَنَّهُ يُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ, that he swears by the setting places or the locations of the stars. وَلَا فِي قَوْلِهِ, and the statement لَا, when he says لَا أُقْسِمُ فِي قَوْلِهِ فَلَا أُقْسِمُ لِلتَّنْبِيهِ وَالتَّوْكِيدِ وَلَيْسَتْ لِلنَّفِي, it is to draw attention to and to emphasize the oath being taken and not to negate it. As you know, those of you studying the Arabic language, if you have a fi'l مُضَارِع like يَجْلِس, يَجْلِسُ, when you say فَلَا يَجْلِسُ or لَا يَجْلِسُ, what does it mean? He's not sitting. أَيَجْلِسُ هُوَ, you say لَا يَجْلِسُ, he's not sitting. So the لَا, when it comes before the present tense verb, usually as a base rule, means a negation. That didn't happen or that is not happening right now. لَا يَشْرَبُ وَلَا يَكْتُبُ وَلَا يَقُومُ وَلَا يَخْرُجُ وَلَا يَدْخُلُ, he's not doing any of these things. So here Allah says لَا أُقْسِمُ, and the verb is أَقْسَمَ, يُقْسِمُ. So for him this is رُبَاعِي, a little bit beyond our beginner's Arabic class. It's a four-lettered verb. أُقْسِمُ means I swear. فَلَا, normally you say لَا أُقْسِمُ. For example, لَا أُقْسِمُ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, I don't swear by other than Allah. لا أقسم بغير الله. Get the idea? You could say لا أقسم بالله, and your لا here is for emphasis. And this is what we find in the book of Allah right here, فلا أقسم. And it comes in other verses as the Shaykh is going to explain. لأن المرادة إثبات القسم. The intended meaning here is to establish and confirm this oath or this swearing that is happening here. وليس نفيه. And the goal is not to negate it, that there is no swearing going on. وَهَذَا كَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And this is like the statements of Allah the Most High. لَا أُقْسِمُ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ. That you've heard in Juzu. عَمَّ. No, I swear by this city, meaning the city of Mecca. وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And as well in the statement of Allah the Most High. لَا أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. From, go back another Juz, Juzu Tabarak. No, I swear by the day of standing, the day of judgment. وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. Right? And no, by your Lord, they do not believe. To the rest of that verse, that's from Surah An-Nisa, the 65th verse. So this la comes before a qasam, it comes before an oath or a swearing being used to emphasize something. وَأَمْثَالُ ذَلِكَ يُؤْتَى بِلَا بِسُورَةِ النَّفِي. And there are other examples of this that come with la, and it means actually a negation. وَالْمُرَادُ بِسُورَةِ النَّفِي. It looks like it should be for a negation. When you say لَا أُقْسِمُ, you might think he does not swear. However, it looks like that, but it is an actual emphasis and a confirmation that he is indeed swearing. طيب. وَالْمُرَادُ بِذَلِكَ التَّوْكِيدُ وَالْتَنْبِيهِ. So the intended usage, the intended meaning behind this usage is توكيد and تنبيه. تنبيه, to draw attention to the meaning. And توكيد, to stress and emphasize the meaning. وَالْقَسَمُ تَأَكِيدُ الشَّيْءِ بِذِكْرِ مُعَظَّمٍ بِأَدَوَاتٍ مَخْصُوصًا. Here he gives us some Arabic language, saying that the qasam, swearing, here's the definition of swearing in the Arabic language. What does it mean to swear? Take an oath. Or to swear by something. What's the definition? It is ta'kid al-shay'. It is to confirm something. When you swear, you're swearing about something. You're not just swearing on something, but you're swearing about a matter. Something that happened, you're a witness. So you say, I swear I'm telling the truth. I swear by Allah I'm telling you the truth with my narration. So you're swearing by someone or something, and you're swearing about a matter. Those are important parts of swearing, right? Taking an oath. So it's ta'kid al-shay, is to confirm or emphasize something, bi-dhikri mu'azzam, through the mention of something that is honored, through the mention of something that is respected, that is held high. Bi-adawatin makhsusa, with linguistic tools that are specified for swearing. What are they? وَهِيَ الْوَاوُ وَالْبَاءُ وَالْتَاءُ. These are called حُرُوف القسم, right? The prepositions used for swearing or taking oaths. They are what? وَاوُ, ba, and ta. Which one is being used here? فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِ. Yeah, there's a ba being used here for قسم. So that's using the linguistic tool. So we have how many parts to a قسم? We have basically four parts, right? We have the intention behind the swearing, that is to confirm something. You have that which you're swearing about, which is the report or what you're trying to emphasize. You have that which you're swearing by. And then you have what? The tool that you're using, the linguistic tool that you're using to construct that sentence. We have these four basic foundational matters of swearing. وَقَوْلُهُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ. And his statement, by the setting places or by the locations of the stars. Nujum is a plural of what? Najm. اختلف فيها العلماء رحمهم الله. The scholars differed about the Nujum. Right? May Allah have mercy on them. فمنهم من قال. Some of them said, إن المراد بذلك أوقات نزول القرآن. Some of them said that the meaning of this is the times, Jazakallahu khairan, the times when the Qur'an was being revealed, the occasions and the situations when the Qur'an was sent down. لأن القرآن نزل مفرقا. Because the Quran was sent down in parts. It was sent down part by part. والشيء المفرق, in the Arabic language, something that's sent down in parts, يسمى منجما. It's called منجم. Right? So then, كما يقال في الدين المقسط or مقسط, مقسط. مقسط على سنوات. أو أشهر. Like it said about a debt that is split up over years or months. يقال له دين منجم. It's a debt that is منجم, split up into many parts. وقيل المراد بمواقع النجوم. And it's also been said that the intended meaning behind the setting of the stars or the locations of the stars, مواقع الطلوع والغروب, the places where they first become visible and the places where they cease being visible, the rising and setting places of the stars. You know, like the sun has a rising and a setting. Astronomers also say for certain heavenly bodies, for stars, there is a rising and a setting. It becomes visible at this point and then it ceases to be visible at this point. Those are called mawaqi in Arabic, mawaqi al-nujum, mawaqi al-tulu'i wal-ghurub, the times and the occasions when they appear and when they go away. لأن مواقع غروبها إذان بالنهار. And this is the daily place or the daily times and locations when the stars first appear. The very first appearance of the stars on a daily level is an announcement. I'm sorry, the going away of the stars is some kind of announcement for the coming of the daytime. ومواقع طلوعها إذان بالليل. And when the stars start to become visible again, this is like an announcement that the nighttime is entering. وتعاقب الليل والنهار من آيات الله العظيمة الكبيرة. And the alternation of the night and the day is from the signs of Allah, the great and mighty signs of Allah Ta'ala. التي لا يقدر عليها إلا الله. Something that no one is able to do other than Allah. عز وجل, the mighty and majestic. فيكون الله تبارك وتعالى أقسم بما يدل على إقبال الليل وإدباره. So it takes the meaning of Allah, the Blessed and Most High, swearing by things that give you indications of the coming or the going away of the night and its coming. وقيل المراد, and it's also been said, and just as for a moment, Allah Ta'ala says, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ الشمس والقمر دائمين وسخر لكم الليل والنهار. And Allah has put in your service the sun and the moon دائمين, continuously, right? And He has put in your service as well the night and the day. That's from Surah Ibrahim. Allah Ta'ala has said وهو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفا. He's the one who made the night and the day alternate. لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. For the one who wishes to be reminded or the one who wishes to offer thanks. And that's from Surah Al-Furqan. So we see that Allah Ta'ala has given lots of emphasis in the Book of Allah to the alternation of the nights and the days and the sun and the moon taking the place of one another. وَقِيل, it's also been said, المراد بمواقع النجوم, the meaning of the places of the stars, الأنواع, the actual placements of those constellations. وكانوا في الجاهلية يعظمونها. In Jahiliyyah, pre-Islamic ignorance, they used to honor the constellations. They used to have a lot of attention for the constellations of stars. حتى إنهم يقولون, they used to say, إِنَّ الْمَطَرَ يَنْزِلُ بِالنَّوْءِ, that rain comes down because of a certain set of stars, a certain constellation, which is what we call astrology, to believe in the positions of the stars having effects on our life. That is the science of astrology. Is it permissible or impermissible? Astrology is, from the kinds of magic, astrology is not only impermissible, shirk. Outside of Islam, the one who reads astrology, the one who believes in it, the one who reads it, you go to a fortune teller and you listen to the fortune teller and he says, because of your astrological sign, this will happen to you. You say, just listening to him no salat will be accepted from you for 40 days from the hadith of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever goes to a kahin, وَصَدَّقَهُ فِي مَا يَقُولُ, he believes in him, you actually believe that he's telling you this is going to happen tomorrow, then he has disbelieved in what has been sent down upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's a disbeliever. So I warn you about horoscopes in the newspaper. Reading that horoscope intentionally takes the place of going to a soothsayer, going to a fortune teller. It's just in written form. It's the same thing as moving physically to go to a fortune teller, to ask that fortune teller to tell you your fortune. Now you're just doing it by going to the newspaper and seeking out that page called the horoscope page, right? Also, you have fortune cookies if you order Chinese food. Fortune cookies, that little cookie that comes with the meal. Inside of that is a piece of paper. Don't read that piece of paper and teach your children to destroy that piece of paper. You can let them eat the cookie, no problem. Tell them to smash the cookie, take the paper and rip it up and never look at the paper. Why? Just looking at the paper could enter you into someone who has listened to a soothsayer. And perhaps your salat would be unacceptable for 40 days just reading a piece of paper like that. SubhanAllah. Be careful, it's a very dangerous situation. So astrology is kufr, and be warned of it. It's a kind of magic as well. يَقُولُونَ مُطِرْنَا بِنَوْءِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. In Jahiliyyah, they used to say we got rain. We've received rain because of such and such constellation, naming the constellations. وَالْمُهِمْ, and what's important here, أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَقْسَمَ, that Allah the Most High has sworn, بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ, by the setting of the stars, مُطِرْن عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْأُمُورِ, he has sworn about a matter that is of the most significant or the most major of affairs. وَهُوَ قَوْلُهُ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ, and verily it is an oath that is very great if you knew. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ, verily it is a Qur'an that is kareem. Kareem could mean noble, could mean fine, could mean beautiful, could mean majestic. It has lots of possible meanings, and we'll see which meaning we apply to the book of Allah, calling it Qur'an kareem, right? The Qur'an kareem. As you have in English, this famous translation called the Noble Qur'an, right? And it's a translation of Qur'an kareem, right? The word Qur'an kareem. طيب. لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ بَيَّنَ عِظَمَ هَذَا الْقَصَمْ. Allah Ta'ala, think about this, before he even mentioned the swearing, he clarified how great the oath or the swearing is. قَبْلَ أَن يُبَيِّنَ الْمُقْسَمَ عَلَيْهِ, before he even mentioned what it is that he's swearing about. Subhanallah. فَقَالَ إِنَّهُ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ, and verily it is an oath or it is a swearing if you only knew that is great. وَأَتَى بِالْجُمْلَةِ الْإِعْتِرَاضِيَّةِ, and he brought this kind of sentence, في قوله لو تعلمون, if you only knew, this clause, this if clause. في قوله لو تعلمون إشارة, he brought this as a reference, على أنه يجب أن نتفطن لهذا القسم, as an indication that we need to pay attention and try or prepare to digest this great swearing. وعظمته, and to know about its greatness. حَتَّى نَكُونَ ذَوِي عِلْمٍ بِهِ, so that we could be people who possess knowledge regarding it. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ, verily it is a Qur'an that is kareem. أي إِنَّ الَّذِي نَزَلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمٍ, that which has been sent down upon Muhammad, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ, verily it is a Qur'an, a recitation, if you want to go with the literal meaning of Qur'an, it is a recitation that is kareem, noble. And it's important to give a definition to the Qur'an according to the scholars of Islam. How do they define the Qur'an? What's a definition of the Qur'an that you may have heard? Can someone give me a definition of the Qur'an? That's the linguistic meaning of the word Qur'an. Definition, jami' mani'. A definition is that which tells you that this is the Qur'an and nothing else is the Qur'an. A complete definition, which excludes everything which cannot be called the Qur'an. Al-Azim, that's just a description of the Qur'an. The scholars say, Kalamullah is the speech of Allah, Al-Munazzal, that has been sent down, Ala Muhammadin, Awaluhu, سورة الفاتحة وآخره سورة الناس, right? From يعني ما بين دفتي المصحف, sometimes they say that. What is between the two covers of the مصحف, right? المحفوظ في الصدور. Three important things, so you're not led astray by the Ash'aris and the Jahmiyyah. المحفوظ في الصدور, that which is memorized in the chests, right? المقروء على الألسن, that which is recited upon the tongues, right? والمكتوب في المصاحف, and that which is written in the mushafs. As we're going to see today, some discussion about having wudu for touching the mushaf and how it relates to these verses, because the mushaf is called the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تسافروا بالقرآن إلى أرض العدو. It's collected in Sahih Muslim. Do not travel with the Quran to the land of the enemy. Do not travel with what? The Quran. Does that mean you can't take it with you in your chest, memorized? Does that mean on the journey you can't recite it on your tongue? Or is that a specific reference to the written Quran in the Mus'haf? That's a specific reference to the written Mus'haf. Don't take the Quran to the land of the enemy. So the Quran is what? Al-mahfudhu fi al-sudur, al-maqru' al-al-sun, and al-maktubu fi al-masahif. That which is memorized in the chests, that which is recited on the tongues, and that which is written in the mushaf. Don't go for the arguments of the Jahmiyyah. What do they say? Oh, they're writing, it's ink and paper. They bring the ink and paper argument. They say, ink and paper. You can't say that that's not created. Ink is created, paper is created. Imam Ahmad used to respond to these kinds of doubts very easily about all five different ways you could bring up this argument. He used to say, the ink and the paper are created. The hand that writes it is created. And what is written is Kalamullah. And leave it like that. Easy. The ear that you listen with is created. But that which you hear is the Kalam of Allah, not created. Leave it alone. That which you see with the eye, when you look in the Mus'haf, that which you see with this device is a created device. But what you're looking at is kalam Allah, غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ, not created, the speech of Allah. What else? That which you memorize with, that which is your chest, your faculty of memorizing is created, right? But that which is memorized is kalam Allah, غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ. Then the instruments that you use to recite the Quran, your teeth, your tongue, your lips, your throat, and so on, these are all created, yet that which you recite, al-maqru'u, that which is recited is kalam Allah, غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ. He used to shut the people up with this argument and not allow them to speak beyond that. And this is a very simple belief, very easy belief. This is the speech of Allah. Do not be influenced by today's philosophers and today's ignorant people who wish to draw you into all kinds of points of confusion about what the Quran is. Subhanallah. A Muslim worshipping Allah doesn't know what the Quran is. He's confused about what the Quran is. Teaching people confusion about the book of Allah Ta'ala. So that which is حين بعثه إلى اليمن, when he sent him to Yemen, وأمره أن يبين للناس, and he ordered him to clarify to the people, أن عليهم زكاة في أموالهم, that they have zakat due on their wealth, right? قال إياك وكرائم أموالهم. He said, be warned and stay away from the كرائم of their wealth. What's kara'im? The Shaykh says here, وَالْكَرَائِمُ جَمْعُ كَرِيمًا. Kara'im is the plural of kareema. Right? Kareema means, we're talking about the meaning of the word kareem here. So kareem here means the most expensive and prized of a person's wealth. Expensive and prized wealth is malun kareem. Right? Wealth that is kareem. Now, وَالْمُرَادُ بِهَا أَشَّاتُ الْحَسَنَةُ الْجَمِيلَةُ. What was intended by that when taking the zakat from the farmers, from the shepherds, is that you don't take their prized sheep, but you rather you would take from the middle kinds of sheep, not from the sickly and weak sheep, and not from the prized sheep, but from the middle categories, right? Balance in everything, even in collecting zakat. وَهُوَ كَرِيمٌ أَعْنِ الْقُرْآنُ كَرِيمٌ. And it is kareem, meaning, I mean here, the Shaykh says, the Qur'an is kareem, fi thawabihi, as it relates to its reward. There's, and the meaning of kareem here, generosity as well. There is a generous reward connected to the Qur'an. The Shaykh says, فَالْحَرْفُ بِحَسَنَةً. Each letter that you read is a hasana. Right? وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. And each reward that you get is multiplied by 10. So for every letter, or perhaps it means every word of the Qur'an, there is 10 rewards for reading it. As a point of benefit there, is that when you understand it or without understanding? Without understanding, what's your proof? Ahsantum. The example given by the Prophet ﷺ when he said, من قرأ حرف من كتاب الله فله حسنة والحسنة بعشر أمثالها لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. Whoever reads a letter from the book of Allah, he gets a reward. That reward is multiplied by 10. I don't say that alif, lam, meem is one letter, but rather I say alif is a letter, lam is a letter, and meem is a letter. So then, who will explain for us right now? Give us the tafsir of alif, lam, meem. Alif, lam, meem. Give me the tafsir. In the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, we have alif, lam, meem. Good answer. Allahu A'lam. Right? What is the tafsir that you can be firm about, that you can say with conviction? This is the tafsir of alif, lam, meem. You have to say Allahu A'lam. And what's the difference? In general, the scholars, they say alif, lam, meem, and alif, lam, ra, and so on. Huruf muqatta'a. They are, in general, a reminder of the challenge to produce a Qur'an, the likes of the Qur'an that you are listening to. These are the Arabic letters that make up the Qur'an. So put these same letters together, a reminder of that challenge, which the Arabs have never been able to fulfill. Right? Put these letters, alif, lam, meem, kaf, ha, ya, ayn, sad, put these letters together and construct something like the Qur'an. Right? And they have never been able to do it. So that seems to be the safest thing. But then even with this tafsir, what's the difference between sad and qaf and alif, lam, meem? In terms of meaning, we have to say Allahu Ta'ala knows best. So the example he gave is an example of something that the Sahaba were not able to say decisively. This is the meaning of alif, lam, meem. And so therefore the Ummah cannot claim to have decisive knowledge about alif, lam, meem. And that you get reward for each and every letter. That tells you that the mudha'afa, that which any hasana in Islam is 10 to 700 times or many times over, that's based on the ikhlas, that's based on your connection to the meanings, based on your submission to Allah Ta'ala. So reading the Qur'an, not knowing the meaning, without any real submissiveness or anything, 10 rewards for every letter, minimum. Reading the Qur'an and a person is understanding the meaning and hearing about the hellfire and crying and worrying about his future and all of that, really working with the book of Allah, way more than just 10 hasana for every letter. That's just the beginning. وَفَضْلُ And the bounties of Allah Ta'ala are expansive, extremely expansive. وَهُوَ كَرِيمٌ فِي آثَارِهِ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ And so it's generous as it relates to the rewards that are there for the one who reads the book of Allah, and it's generous as it relates to its effects on the heart, that a person can read the Qur'an and be affected with his heart with very little reading of the Qur'an. He can be reminded and he can be called back to obedience to Allah Ta'ala. وَهُوَ كَرِيمٌ فِي آثَارِهِ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ وَصَلَاحِهَا In rectifying the hearts. فَإِنَّ قِرَاءَةَ الْقُرْآنَ فَإِنَّ قِرَاءَةَ الْقُرْآنِ تُلَيِّنُ الْقُلُوبِ For reading the Qur'an is something that softens the hearts. وَتُوجِبُ الْخُشُوعَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ And it pushes the person, or forces the person to have humbleness and submission to Allah the Mighty and Majestic. وَكَرِيمٌ فِي آثَارِهِ And it's kareem, I believe this means generous here. Bi atharihi in its effects. Bi da'wat an-nasi ila shari'atillah. As it is used to call the people to the legislation of Allah. Kama qala ta'ala. As Allah the Most High has said, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا And do not obey the disbelievers, but make jihad upon them with it, meaning the Qur'an, jihadan kabira, a very severe or very strong struggle from Surah Al-Furqan. فالمهم أن القرآن كريم. The Qur'an is kareem. It is noble, it is fine, it is beautiful, it has generous rewards associated with it. These are meanings that come from kareem. بكل معنى الكرم. as it relates to every possible meaning of the word karam. There is no bad meaning of karam. Right? You don't have, you know, negative meanings established with that, like you have with some words that are praiseworthy in some situations and blameworthy in other situations. Karam is either beauty, it's either goodness, inner goodness, it's either generosity, it's all good meanings. No? So every good meaning that is associated with the word kareem applies to the description of the Book of Allah. Fi kitabin maknoon, in a covered or protected book, right? La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. It is not touched by other than those who have purity, those who have been purified. These are the 78th and 79th verses. Very interesting verses here that have been the source of scholarly debate regarding the fiqh that can be drawn from these verses. The Shaykh says, اختلف العلماء رحمهم الله. The scholars have differed. May Allah have mercy on them. في الكتاب المكنون, about the meaning of the protected or covered book. فقيل إنه اللوح المحفوظ. Some of them said it is the preserved tablet. لقوله تعالى, بل هو قرآن مجيد في لوح محفوظ. In the end of Surah Al-Buruj, nay, it is a majestic Quran in a preserved tablet. وقيل المراد به الكتب التي بأيدي الملائكة. Some of the scholars have said that the maknoon, the book that is preserved or book that is covered, is the books that are in, or the scrolls or the records that are in the hands of the angels. كما قال تعالى, that have been referred to in the statement of Allah, the Most High, فمن شاء ذكره, and whoever wishes he may remember it, في صحف مكرمة, in noble scrolls, مرفوعة مطهرة, raised up and purified, بأيدي سفرة, in the hands of noble angels, كرام بررة, they are noble and they are obedient. وهذا القول رجحه ابن القيم. This position was favored by, or it was concluded with, by Ibn al-Qayyim, رحمه الله. May Allah have mercy on him. في كتابه التبيان في أقسام القرآن. In his book called التبيان في أقسام القرآن. And here, أقسام of the Qur'an, it doesn't mean معاني. أقسام is the plural of قسم. This is a book that goes into the أقسام. When Allah says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِكَذَا, then Ibn al-Qayyim collects these places and he discusses the tafsir of those meanings. I mean, you see that books written in the science of the Qur'an, the sciences of the Qur'an, they are so varied in their nature about what they would address. Look at this one book, one mujallad, specifically on the topic of the oaths or the swearing done in the Qur'an, subhanAllah. So the Shaykh goes on to say, لَا يَمَسُّهُ لَا يَمَسُّ هَذَا الْكِتَابَ الْمَكْنُونَ. Meaning no one touches it, meaning no one touches this book that is preserved, إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ, except those who have been purified. وَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَهَّرَهُمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْمَعَاصِ. And they are the angels that have been purified by Allah of shirk, polytheism, and disobedience. وَلِهَذَا لَا تَقَعُ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مَعْصِيَّةِ. And based on this purification, the angels do not fall into acts of disobedience, as they are purified of disobedience. بَلْ هُمْ مُمْتَثِلُونَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. They are beings that only carry out the order of Allah. قَائِمُونَ بِهِ. And they establish it. عَلَى مَا أَرَادَهُ اللَّهِ. In a way that Allah, in the exact way that Allah wanted from them. وَذَهَبَ بَعْضُ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ. And some of the scholars of tafsir went to hold the position, إِلَى قَوْلٍ غَرِيبٍ. They held a position that is strange regarding this verse. وَلَيْسَ بِغَرِيبٍ. My comment here is not strange. Right? But the Shaykh considers it strange. And we'll look at it with a little bit of critical analysis here. وَقَالُوا الْمُرَادُ بِقَوْلِهِ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. The intended meaning behind no one touches it except for those who are purified, أَي لَا يَمَسُّ الْقُرْآنَ إِلَّا طَاهِرٌ. No one touches the Qur'an except someone who has purification, meaning wudu. Right? وَلَكِنْ هَذَا قَوْلٌ ضَعِيفٌ لَا تَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ الْآيَةِ. So this is a weak position that the verse doesn't have any evidence in it for. Now what the Shaykh means here, and I want you to be exactly precise in understanding his words, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said it's wajib for you to have wudu when you touch the mushaf. What he's saying here is the qawlun da'if is that this is extracted from this verse. He's saying this verse is about the angels and Allah al-Mahfuz, and it's not about the mushaf. While he uses other evidence like the hadith of Amr ibn Hazm from the message ordered to be written by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave a number of rules about halal and haram, and he said, وَأَن لَا يَمَسُّ الْقُرْآنَ إِلَّا طَاهِرٌ, that no one is to touch the Qur'an, meaning the written mushaf, other than a person who is in purification. So he believed firmly, and he taught this in his fiqh, that a person must have wudu in order to touch the mushaf. That's the first thing. So secondly, when he says this is qawlun da'if, this is a weak position, he means to get that same ruling, but extract it from this verse. Saying this verse doesn't have the dilala, it doesn't have the proof for that issue. Right? So make sure you understand that. لِأَنَّهُ لَوْ كَانَ الْمُرَادُ ذَلِكَ, he's saying here, if that was the intended meaning in this verse, لَقَالَ إِلَّا الْمُتَطَهَّرُونَ, except for those who have become purified. And he mentions a bit of that which is not clear to me exactly why that would have been the case. But I'll convey it to you as he says that the wording al-mutahharun is not appropriate to understand people who make wudu. But mutatahharun is more appropriately applied to people who make wudu. That's what he says. طيب, يعني المتطهرين, and he said, or he would have said mutatahhirin from tatahhur, not tahara. Tahharahum Allah. I don't understand the difference in terms of the language. I see both being applicable, and the majority of the scholars understood this verse to be applicable as a proof for what the Shaykh is calling gharib, strange. وَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ يُوجَدُ فِي بَعْضِ التَّفَاسِيرِ, and had it not been for the fact that this position is mentioned in some of the books of tafsir, أَلَّتِي بِأَيْدِ النَّاسِ مَا تَعَرَّضْنَا لَهُ, the books that are in the hands of the people, had it not been for that, then I would not have even mentioned this issue. I would not have even mentioned this position that you need wudu to touch the mushaf based on this ayah, right? لِأَنَّهُ لَا قِيمَةَ لَهُ, because there's no value at all to this position. Now here, take a look, you know, understand the scholars. This scholar here, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, a scholar of fiqh, well known, widely respected, in terms of his notoriety and his imamah, him being an imam and respected, nobody challenged that from amongst the scholars. Widely, hands down, respected. So for him to take a position that he feels strongly on, and say the other position, لا قيمة له, the other position has no value to it, it shows you his confidence in his position. It doesn't mean, the strength of his language doesn't close the issue up and say that other position must be false. No matter how much you love the Shaykh, you still look at the position and you weigh the evidences. So here the Shaykh said it's la qimata lahu. It's a position that has no weight to it or no value to it. وَالصَّوَابُ, what's correct, أَنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِذَلِكَ الْمَلَائِكَ, and that what's correct is that what's intended in this verse is the angels. فَإِنْ قُلْنَا إِنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِالْكِتَابِ الْمَكْنُونَ الصُّحُفِ, if we tried to say, or if the intended meaning was the scrolls, the kitab that is maknoon, the kitab which is protected, the book that is protected, are the suhuf allati bi-aydihim, fawadihun fi qawlihi la yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. If we said that other position, that what's intended here is what's in the hands of the angels, then that would easily apply to them. They are mutahharun. Angels can be described as مُطَهَّرُونَ. وَإِذَا قِيلَ الْمُرَادُ بِهِ اللَّوْهِ الْمَحْفُوظِ فَكَذَلِكَ الْمُطَهَّرُونَ, and if we said it's in the لَوْهِ الْمَحْفُوظِ, the preserved tablet, and as well the only ones who touch that are the angels, and they are described as مُطَهَّرُونَ, قَدْ يُسَمُّونَهُ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَقَدْ لَا يُسَمُّونَهُ, قَدْ يَمَسُّونَهُ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَقَدْ لَا يَمَسُّونَهُ, they could touch the book that's in the لَوْهِ الْمَحْفُوظِ if Allah ordered that, and they could also not touch it. We'll pause at this time to listen to the adhan, insha'Allah ta'ala. Tayyib, I mentioned to you that a number of scholars have held the position that this is not a strange position. In fact, it's the correct position. It is the correct understanding from the book of Allah that you do not touch the mushaf without wudu based on this verse. So who are these scholars? Let's look at one of the most recommended tafsir for beginners, intermediate, for all people. It's the tafsir of Al-Baghawi, Al-Imam Al-Baghawi. The scholars recommend, like they recommend the tafsir of Al-Sa'di for the beginners. Al-Baghawi is a great book of tafsir. He says, وَقَالَ قَوْمٌ, he's talking about this verse, that none touch it except those who have been purified. Some people have said, مَعْنَاهُ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ مِنَ الْأَحْدَاثِ وَالْجَنَابَاتِ. That there are people who say, no one touches it, meaning the Qur'an, if they have broken their wudu, or they are in a state of post-sexual defilement. وَظَاهِرُ الْآيَةِ نَفِي. The most apparent understanding of the verse is a nefi, meaning it is a negation of something. People, those who are not purified, don't touch it. It's not an order or a prohibition. وَمَعْنَاهُ نَهِي. However, it comes like that, as it comes like a piece of information, but the intention is an order or a prohibition to stay away from it, to not do that. Right? There's no rafath on Hajj, for example. There's no fusuq on Hajj. Is that information or is that a prohibition? That's a prohibition, but it comes with the Arabic wording that it sounds like it's a negation of the existence of something. Right? So here we have that in the Book of Allah. Here, they understood that this comes as a khabar, like no one touches it except the mutahharun, but it means an-nahi. It is forbidden for anyone who doesn't have tahara to touch the mushaf. Tayyib? وَمَعْنَهَا النَّهِ قَالُوا لَا يَجُوزُ لِلْجُنَّبِ وَلَا لِلْحَائِضِ وَلَا لِلْمُحْدِثِ لِلْمُحْدِثِ حَمَّلِ الْمُصْحَفِ. It is not allowed for the person in post-sexual defilement, or the menstruating woman, or the person who has committed a hadath, he has lost his wudu, to carry the mushaf. وَلَا مَسُّهُ, nor may he touch it. وَهُوَ قَوْلُ, it is the statement of Ata, great scholar of the Tabi'un, student of Ibn Abbas. وَطَاوُس, likewise, scholar of the Tabi'in, big scholar in tafsir, both of these men, students of Ibn Abbas, the premier scholar from the Sahaba in tafsir, by the way, right? وَسَالِمْ وَالْقَاسِمْ. Salim is who? Ibn Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar. Salim. And who's Al-Qasim? Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. Right? To the son, the grandson of Abu Bakr, and the grandson of Umar ibn Khattab, the grandsons of the first two khalifas. Right? وَأَكْثَرُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. Al-Baghawi says, it's the position held by the majority of the scholars. After mentioning this small selection of tabi'in, then he, and by the way, these are not just tabi'in. I wrote on the board poetry mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim in I'lam al-Muwaqqi'in about the seven major scholars of al-Madina that al-Imam Malik ibn Anas al-Asbahi built his madhab or preferred in issues of differing. He would go to the statement of the great imams of the tabi'in, children of the Sahaba, most of them, and he would refer to them for what he considered to be correct in his madhab. Right? These were what? وَإِذَا سُئِلْتَ وَإِذَا قِيلَ مَنْ فِي الْعِلْمِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ. If you're asked, who are the seven big oceans of knowledge? رِوَايَتُهُمْ لَيْسَتْ عَنِ الْعِلْمِ خَارِجَةً. Their narration doesn't go outside of solid knowledge. Right? فَقُلْ هُمْ عُبَيْدُ اللَّهِ وَعُرْوَةُ وَقَاسِمٌ قُلْ هُمْ عُبَيْدُ اللَّهِ عُرْوَةُ قَاسِمٌ سَعِيدٌ أَبُو بَكْرٍ سُلَيْمَانُ. Last one. خَارِجَ. I put no dots and no things up there. طيب. So who are these people? There are seven. These are the major scholars of the Tabi'in in the time, in the beginning of the second century. Right? And Abu Bakr here is replaced in some opinions by Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar. You see, Salim is not up there. Salim is not there. So Salim is considered from the great imams of the Tabi'in, as well as up there is who? Qasim. Qasim is again the grandson of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. So two of the seven great imams of Medina are mentioned here, just to give you some idea about the strength of these. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Jami', which is something we call the Sunan of al-Tirmidhi, he would bring his ahadith and then he would follow the ahadith with the statements of the imams. So he adds here to this issue, after bringing the hadith of Amr ibn Hazm, which is the one where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote that no one touches the mushaf other than a tahir, a person of tahara, he said, At-Tirmidhi said after the hadith, he said, به يقول الثوري والشافعي وأحمد وإسحاق. And I failed to mention to you that Al-Baghawi ended by saying it's the position of Malik and Shafi'i. So we have Malik, Shafi'i, Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri. We have Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Ishaq ibn Rahway. These are serious major imams. And the ones like Ishaq ibn Rahway and Sufyan al-Thawri, they had madahib. They had teachings and students in their time, the likes of the four imams. But their madhabs have not been preserved over time. But they were on that level. So at Tirmidhi, he mentions the greatest of the imams when he summarizes the issues in fiqh. So he says Ishaq all the time. Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Al-Thawri, and he throws in these other names that are outside of who we know as the four imams, but they were great imams as well. Also, who among the scholars of today have understood this verse to be a proof, specifically this verse? لَا يَمَسُهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. No one touches it other than people of Tahara, people who have been pure, or those who have been purified. The Shaykh of Shaykh Ibn Taymin, Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz. The Mufti after Shaykh ibn Baz, Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Ali Shaykh. The current Mufti, Hafidhullah. Shaykh Saleh ibn Fawzan al-Fawzan. All of the major scholars, basically, in the land of Shaykh ibn Taymin, all hold that position that he considered to be gharib, la qimata lahu. Strange position, having no value at all. He was greatly outnumbered in that statement. So this statement, we can accept from him that he says it's la qimata lahu because of his opinion. He says, I don't see the angle of proof in it. That's acceptable. But is it gharib? Gharib means something strange. We say, no, it's not gharib. That's the mashhur. It's the opposite. It is the well-known position of the ulama. Al-Baghawi summarizes the differing, and he says, it's the qawl of akthar ahl al-ilm. It's the position of the majority of the scholars. So you can't really say about the position of the majority of the scholars, linguistically or shar'an or anything, that it's gharib. That it's a strange position. Right? Usually you would describe a minority position as being gharib. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. The narration of Amr ibn Hazm that I mentioned to you, أَلَّا يَمَسَّ الْقُرْآنَ إِلَّا طَاهِرٌ, it's also been narrated, and that hadith is in the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim and other books. It's an authentic hadith as judged by scholars of hadith like Sheikh Al-Albani. And there's another narration with the same wording from Abdullah ibn Umar. La yamassu al-Qur'ana illa tahir. It's collected by At-Tabarani in his Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir. And also was called Sahih by Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani. So the issue here that he refers to as a strange statement that is not of no weight is officially overturned, and we love our Sheikh. And we benefit from our Shaykh. However, that's going to be something, as the scholars of the past used to say, when you want to know the mistakes of your Shaykh, what do? You study from other than your Shaykh. When you want to know the mistakes of your Shaykh, then you study from other than your Shaykh. Right? So we don't have this ta'assub to one Shaykh, that we stick to this one Shaykh and take all of his statements and everyone else must be off it. No matter how beloved that Shaykh is to us and how much we honor and respect him, we don't take his position and say, so long as he said it, it must be correct, right? Because that's the way of a ta'assub and a tafarruq. As soon as you do that with one scholar, then another person will have the right to do that with another scholar. And then how would we ever come together? How would we ever be able to come together if everyone is saying, if my shaykh didn't take that position, it must be wrong? The people, the muta'assibun for Abu Hanifa, they're not the only people that are rigid in their following of their iman. They say, what? If Abu Hanifa didn't have the hadith, then it can't be an authentic hadith. He's the imam, you know. So if he didn't have the hadith, then it couldn't be an authentic hadith. I trust him. He didn't mention this hadith. He must have known about it. And so therefore, I can't follow the other positions because I'm sure that their evidence was something rejected by my imam without any detailed discussion, right? So that's not accepted from the followers of Abu Hanifa, nor would it be accepted from the followers of Shaykh ibn Taymiyyah for us to take his statement, لَنُّهُ لَا قِيمَةَ لَهُ غَرِيبٌ, all of that, right? When it's the statement of the majority of the scholars. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on him. تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I'm going to have to finish very briefly here for the rest of the tafsir. The 80th verse, it is a tanzeel, a revelation sent down, right? From the Lord of all that exists. أَيْهَذَا الْقُرْآنُ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This Qur'an is a revelation sent down from the Lord of the of all that exists. نَزَلَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِأَنَّهُ كَلَامُهُ. It came down from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and as it is His speech, وَكَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مُنَزَّلٌ غَيْرُ مَخْرُوقٍ. The speech of Allah is sent down and is not described as being created. وَيُسْتَفَادُ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ. And it's something of that can be benefited from this noble verse. And the Quran لَيْسَ بِمَخْرُوقٍ. That the Quran is not a created thing. لِأَنَّهُ نَزَلَ مِنْ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ كَلَامُهُ. Because it was sent down, or it came down from Allah, so it is His speech. وَكَلَامُهُ مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ تَعَالَى. And His speech is from the generality of His attributes, the Most High. وَصِفَاتُهُ غَيْرُ مَخْرُوقًا. And we don't say about His attributes that they are created. وَفِي قَوْلِهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It is a revelation from the Lord of all that exists. إِشَارَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نَعْمَلَ بِهِ. Is a reference that shows it is obligatory on us to act in accordance to it. لِأَنَّ الَّذِي أَنْزَلَهُ هُوَ رَبُّ الْمُطَاعُ الْخَالِقُ الرَّازِقُ. Because the one who sent it down, He is the Lord to be obeyed, the Creator, the Provider. الَّذِي يَجِبُ أَن نُطِيعَهُ بِمَا أَمَرُ. The one who it is binding on us to obey Him in what He orders. وَنَنْتَهِيَّ عَمَّا نَهَا عَنْهُ وَزَجَرُ. And that we refrain from the matters that He forbade, and He forbade strictly. وَالْعَالَمِينَ. The word عَالَمِينَ, كُلُّ مَنْ سِوَى اللَّهُ, refers to everything other than Allah Ta'ala. وَسُمُّوا عَالَمِينَ. And they've been called عَالَمِينَ, everything except Allah. لِأَنَّهُمْ عَالَمٌ عَلَىٰ خَالِقِهِمْ. Because they are signs that point towards their Creator. فَإِنَّ هَذَا الْخَلْقَ إِذَا تَأَمَّلَهُ الْإِنسَانُ دَلَّهُ عَلَىٰ مَا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْ عَظَمَةٍ وَسُلْطَانٍ وَرَحْمَةٍ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ. If a person were to reflect carefully about what is in the creation, then that would lead him to know that what Allah has of greatness, authority, mercy, and other beautiful attributes that He has. أَفَبِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنْتُمْ مُدْهِنُونَ. Is it regarding this hadith, this narration, the Quran, that you are mudhinun, that you wish to give in to pressure or compromise with others about? يعني أبعد هذا البيان لعظمة القرآن الكريم تدهنون به الكفار. After this clarification about how great this Quran is and noble, are you going to compromise with the disbelievers? وَتَسْكُتُونَ عَنْ بَيَانِهِ. And be silent about clarifying the matters in it. وَعَنَ الْعَمَلِ بِهِ. And be quiet about practicing it. وَهَذَا الْاِسْتِفْهَامُ لِلْإِنْكَارِ. This question is to reject a matter. It's for inkar, to reject something. Meaning, is it that with this Quran you're going to compromise? Meaning, do not compromise with anything connected to this Quran. لأن الواجب على من آمن به بأنه تنزيل من رب العالمين. Because that which is necessarily obligatory on anyone who believes that it is revelation sent down from the Lord of all that exists. وأنه قرآن كريم. And that it is a noble Quran. وأنه لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. And that no one touches it other than those who are purified. الواجب أن يصارح ويصرح وَلَا يُدْهِنْ. The obligation is that he openly proclaims it, and that he is specific and explicit in what he says regarding it, and that he does not compromise its message. وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي آيَاتٍ أُخْرَى. And Allah the Most High has said in other verses, وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُ فَيُدْهِنُ. They wish, the disbelievers wish that you would compromise, so they would compromise with you. Right, from Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Yeah? No, where is it from? It's escaping me right now. Huh? Noon. Aywa, noon wal qalam. Tayyib. Walakin hada laysa bihasil. However, this didn't happen. Meaning the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not compromise anything in the Quran with the disbelievers. Falwajibu ala al-mu'min an yabruza bidinihi. So the believer, it's obligatory on him that he stand up, take a stand for his religion. Wa yaftakhira bihi. That he is honored by it. And he shows his honor openly regarding the Quran and his religion. وَيُظْهِرَهُ. And that he openly brings it out, he makes it manifest for the people. خِلَافَ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسَ الْيَوْمِ. In opposition to what so many of the people today do. مَعَ الْأَسَفِ. Sadly. تَجِدُ الرَّجُلَ مِنْهُمْ إِذَا قَامَ لِيُصَلِّي يَسْتَحْيَ أَنْ يُصَلِّي. A person when it's time to pray, he's embarrassed and ashamed to offer salah around other people. Right? وَرُبَّمَا يُدَاهِنُ وَيُؤَخِّرَ الصَّلَاةَ عَنْ وَقْتِهَا مُوَافَقَةً لِهَؤُلَاء. And you might find he compromises. And يُدَاهِن. And he gives in. And he delays his salah outside of its time in order to be in agreement openly with such people. الَّذِينَ لَا يُصَلُّونَ. The people who don't pray. وَهَذَا غَلَطٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is a horrible mistake. بَلِ الْوَاجِبْ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْإِنسَانُ سَرِيحًا. It is a must that a person be clear, explicitly clear. فَلَا يُدَاهِنُ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. He doesn't compromise in the religion of Allah, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, the Mighty and Majestic. وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. And you make your provisions into something that you disbelieve or something that you reject. أَيْتَجْعَلُونَ عَطَاءَ اللَّهِ إِيَّاكُمْ تَكْذِيبًا. This is the last verse. Sorry for delaying the salah. One small paragraph and we're finished. You make the gifts that Allah has given you a source of rejecting Him. كَمَا قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. As Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, يَعْرِفُونَ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُنْكِرُونَهَا. They acknowledge, they know the blessing of Allah and then they reject it. From Surah An-Nahl. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ أَيَنْسِبَ الْإِنسَانُ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَى السَّبَبِ مُتَنَاسِيًا الْمُسَبِّبِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. From the generality of this is that a person ascribes a blessing from Allah the Mighty and Majestic. He says it is just connected to the reason why it happened. We talked yesterday about the person who's a merchant and he knows the best way to sell things and the good ways of delivering products. So he says, the reason why I have wealth is because of my style or because of my knowledge of the market and all of that. So he looks to the reasons and he says, that's why, and he attributes the good from Allah to those reasons. Subhanallah. And he forgets the one who put those reasons in place is Allah, the Mighty and Most High. فِقَوْلِهِ مَثَلًا مُطِرْنَا بِنَوْءِ كَذَا. Like the statement of a person, we've received rain because of such and such star. فَيَنْسِبُ الْمَطَرَ إِلَى النَّوْءِ. So he ascribes the rain to the star or to the constellation. لَا إِلَى الْخَالِقِ. Not to the Creator. And عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, the Mighty and Majestic. I'll add here what they say, when they say we have lots of clouds today, so we're going to get rain, 100% chance of precipitation today, because of the clouds. They don't say this is the blessing of Allah is coming, inshallah, or we hope for the blessing of Allah in the form of rain. They say no, the clouds have formed, those are rain clouds, it will rain, it must rain scientifically, and so they attribute the khayr, which is the rain, to the clouds, and not the creator of the clouds and the maintainer of the universe. فَهَذَا نَوْعٌ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ. And this is a kind of polytheism, shirk, associating partners with Allah. كَمَا جَاءَ ذَلِكَ صَرِيحًا فِي حَدِيثِ زَيْدِ بْنِ خَالِدٍ الْجُهَنِي. As comes explicitly in the hadith of Zayd ibn Khalid al-Juhani, may Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَلَّى بِهِمْ صَلَاةَ الصُّبْحِ. He prayed with them one day, the early morning prayer, Fajr Salah, called the Subh, ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ فِي الْحُدَيْبِيَّ, at the place called Hudaybiyah, outside of the boundary of Mecca, commonly known today as Shumaisi. Shumaisi. That's the checkpoint coming from Jeddah into Mecca. وَقَدْ نَزَلَ مَطَرٌ. In this place where they were stopped from entering into the Haram boundary, that it had rained that night while they were there waiting. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and that of his family members and grant them all peace, he said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. Do you know what your Lord has said? قَالُوا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمْ. They said, Allah and his messenger knows best. He said, قَالَ أَصْبَحَ مِنْ عِبَادِي مُؤْمِنٌ بِي كَافِرٌ بِالْكَوْكَبِ. This morning there has become of my servants those who believe in me and disbelieve in the stars. يعني انقسموا إلى قسمين مؤمن وكافر. People have been divided into two categories, believers and disbelievers. فَأَمَّا مَنْ قَالَ As for the one who has said, مُطِرْنَا بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ We received rain because of the bounty of Allah and His mercy. فَذَلِكَ مُؤْمِنٌ بِي كَافِرٌ بِالْكَوْكَ That's the believer in me, the disbeliever in the stars, or in the constellations. وَأَمَّا مَنْ قَالَ مُطِرْنَا بِنَوْءِ كَذَا وَكَذَا As for the one who says, we received rain because of such and such constellation, فَذَلِكَ كَافِرٌ بِي That is a disbeliever in me, مُؤْمِنٌ بِالْكَوْكَبِ A believer in the stars. And that hadith was collected by both al-Bukhari and Muslim, and with that we'll close, sending salah and salam upon the Messenger of Allah, his family, companions, and followers. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمْ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ